like to begin today with unauthorized OUs. This is a lecture given by Rabbi Borach Tziviak. And Rabbi Tziviak is at the forefront of making sure that companies do not use the OU illegally, and he's going to try to tell you what you could do to help Kol Yisrael in this regard.
Yashkechacha, good morning. Before I begin, I'm going to make a very quick disclaimer. In the sense, Rabbi Grossman is absolutely correct. I am Rabbi Tziviak from Rabbi Rav Pounds, Echatzalvi Kodesh Levracha. Nonetheless, I insist that in any context with regards to my work in any situation, I am called Baruch Tziviak or Mr. Tziviak. There are two reasons for this. You might say it's another, which may or may not be misplaced, but more particularly, my job most often is adversarial. I work with people, and I'm trying to get them to do things that will cost them a lot of money, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, certainly a lot of effort, and I have this mental image of them hanging up the phone going, "That stinking rabbi." So I just take out the Rabbi Tziviak. I can be Baruch Tziviak to anybody. If you feel terribly uncomfortable with that, and there should be no reason for that, you can call me Mr. Tziviak.
But here you're not adversarial, so you're...
Nonetheless, I have to keep my level in one thing. I have to be just consistent.
Are you one of the people who brought up this in charge of time?
Yes, I am.
I got your letter. Thank
you. And also, I've put a number of samples of items, or there's one letter on the table as well, which all these can be defined as unauthorized OUs. Some of these are absolutely treif, some of them are siri d'rabanan, and some of them are perfectly benign. My goal today, in the 45 minutes that we have, is to do as follows. I'd like to introduce you to the concept of unauthorized OUs, tell you how they happen, how they get to me, and I'm going to focus on what you can do, whether you go in to become cautious professionals, whether you remain consumers, whether you work in the field as mashgichim, and have an enormous amount of respect for people who are mashgichim. I think they have a challenging job, and when done well, they make a tremendous kiddush Hashem. Or whether you work in offices such as this one, as the more corporate end of it. I'm also going to send out my business card, because there are going to be many things that I am not going to cover. You will have questions. I don't mind if no one calls me. I'm not insulted. I'm busy enough. But should you wish to call me, you're welcome to, with the understanding that I may or may not have a tremendous amount of time at the moment that you call. Okay. A couple of points before we get into the meat and potatoes of this. Kosher means kosher, potatoes, glad kosher. Number one, from our perspective, why does it bother us if there's an unauthorized OU or kosher smart? Now, my discussion this morning will reference OU. If you pick up any issue of Kosher's magazine, you'll see that the concept of unauthorized use of a kosher symbol is in no way limited to the OU. I work for the OU, I see it. Barsham, we have a department of two and a half people that's devoted to policing our mark, and we do so very vigorously. We also have, Baruch Hashem, a good reputation out there. Anybody, and this is, if you think about it, it makes sense, anybody who I am dealing with, and I'm telling them, you're using our mark in an unauthorized fashion, all they have to do is go to the web, and I don't know how familiar you are with it, but if you Google, which means you do a search for the words Orthodox Union and lawsuit, you'll get some pretty impressive results. And if you Google Orthodox Union attorneys, you'll get some pretty impressive firms. Anybody who's on the receiving end of my notice should have seichel and realize that we're not a fly-by-night and we're not lightweight. We're very serious and committed to policing the mark, which is what we do, which is a good thing. But this is not limited to OU. Any organization that has a kosher symbol is subject to unauthorized uses of that symbol. How they deal with it depends, and really it's on an organization-by-organization basis. So from the big picture, from Klai Yisrael's perspective, what bothers us about an unauthorized OU is that a consumer may eat something that's treif or not to his or her standards of kashrus, unbeknownst to them. It's a misrepresentation. From a secular perspective, this means absolutely nothing. You can't walk over to a judge and say, "Your Honor, this man is eating treif." Your Honor goes, "Okay, what does that mean?" It's not a big issue to him. Now, technically, you might be able to explain it and say his rights are being abused, but that takes an awful long time and you have no great chance of success. What you can do is go, "Your Honor, I own a mark. It's a trademark certification mark. It's called the OU symbol. I have it registered federally under at least three or four licenses in the United States for OU, OUD, OUP, OU Dairy. I've registered it internationally in five or six different countries and associations such as the European Union. And this company is willfully and knowingly infringing upon my mark. They are diluting the value of my symbol because I own it. They are using it in an unauthorized way. People will lose confidence in the validity of the symbol and what it represents. they're stealing from me. You've got to stop this, Your Honor. And Your Honor does understand that very well. That's shprach that they understand. So from our perspective, it's tarfis. From the secular perspective, it's an unauthorized use of a trademark certification symbol. Step one, for any kashrus organization, and I've helped other organizations do this, is to register your mark. If you know, the world can know that the BDC, for Baruch Tov Tzviak, is a wonderful kashrus symbol. But if McDonald's wants to start putting BDC on its cheeseburgers, I can't stop them, Hagam, I own it, unless I own it, unless I've registered it. Now, there are ways to do so otherwise, but it's, like I said, you don't want to have a big fight in court. The more raises or the more questions that you give the opposing attorney to fight with, then the more headache you have, the less chance you have of a quick success. We need quick success because the consumer is buying the product now. This case of an unauthorized OU most often comes to us once it's already out there, and now we've got to control it as quickly as we can simply to protect the consumers, and that's our main reason, that's our raison d'etre, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So, we want to register our mark, fine. I'm going to discuss, I forget this one, sorry guys. Are you familiar with the basic concept of the manufacturer private label company? I don't mean to be condescending, but if you're not, I want to touch upon it. If not, okay. When you walk, in a nutshell, in a minute or less, there are manufacturers that own plants, facilities that make products. They could be ingredient products, they could be retail products, they can be end user products, whatever they are. It could be saccharin, it could be potato chips, it makes no difference. Those are manufacturers. There are label companies which own a brand. A brand can be Heinz is a brand, right? Heinz ketchup is a brand of Pringles is a brand. Label companies who own the brand, just like we own the OU, they own the brand Pringles. They may or may not be manufacturers as well. General Mills manufactures their own cereal. General Mills is a brand. They're functioning as a manufacturer who owns their own labels. ShopRite, to give you an example that you'll all be familiar with, is not a manufacturer. They are primarily and exclusively a label company. ShopRite will go to manufacturers located around the world and say, look, or we want to buy this. We want to buy your string beans, your French-style string beans. Could you make it for us? We'll give you the label. You'll make the label for us. Here are our specs. And when the consumer buys it, they're buying a ShopRite can. Consumers are not always sophisticated with regards to these things. And as a child, I remember thinking that ShopRite must have so many factories. This is amazing. ShopRite is a fameg. You know, look what they have. But there are label companies and there are manufacturers. Again, by way of overview, there are two basic types of unauthorized OU that, at least as far as I'll qualify them or classify them in my work. There can be an unauthorized OU symbol, and by definition, an unauthorized OU will be something that bears the OU symbol that has not been licensed to bear the OU symbol by the Orthodox Union. So that I can have Wise Potato Chip Company, and there is such a company. They're not a label company, they manufacture. I could have Wise Potato Chip Company having an all-kosher facility that decides one day to introduce a brand new flavor called jalapeno flavored potato chips. They're using all the kosher ingredients that we've always approved. They haven't changed the manufacturing except for just different flavors. But if they haven't told us, Orthodox Union, we are doing a new product called jalapeno flavor, and can we have your permission to put the OU on it, and can you issue us a letter authorizing the placement of the OU on the product, then that product is an unauthorized OU. It really is. There's no question about it. That's going to come to my desk, and I'm going to have to start figuring out who is the label company, who is the manufacturer, and I have to start to work on it. But ultimately, the product is kosher, and it came out of one of our certified plants. Okay? Another type of unauthorized OU symbol is something which has no shaykhus to the Orthodox Union. A company decides that they are lahachas going to go ahead and put the OU on something because they want to increase sales. Why do they want to increase sales? That's what they want to do. Why don't they come to us and do it properly? They tried and it was too expensive. Very, very often this happens that a company says, you know what, we're going to introduce a new product and we're going to start developing the labels and they're ambitious and they order 500,000 labels and we're going to have it kosher and they order 500,000 labels with VOU because that's the best kosher sign out there. It's all over. You walk in the supermarket, I'm not making sales pitch, but if you walk in the supermarket from the retailer's perspective, the manufacturer went ahead and ordered 500,000 labels. He's really excited about it. He's really excited about it. He ordered those 500,000 labels. Then he approaches the OU, and we tell him, you know something? You're using Parmesan cheese in your product. You can do it, but kosher Parmesan cheese costs three times the price of non-kosher Parmesan cheese. He says, wait, forget this kosher business. And he goes back home, and he's got these 500,000 labels that he printed up, right? And he's like, okay, I'm not going to fill this out. Labels cost money. I spend $50,000 on these labels. You know what? Forget it. He puts it out on the street, and now I've got a kosher Parmesan, which actually is that green bottle over there, that it's not kosher. It says, are you? People are buying it, going, wow, look at that. And there was a very alert, savvy consumer who picked up on this particular item. They said, you know something? That is so cheap. It doesn't make sense. How can they possibly afford just a kosher food like that price? And that's where it came to my desk. Consumers can do an awful lot if they keep their minds open. But that's the second type, and that's a very, very serious type of issue. I don't remember. Take a look. Okay.
I'm saying, if it was kosher, would it say DM?
No, not particularly. And that's because we have this on our website, and I advertise this all the time. There are literally, we certify hundreds of thousands of different products. There are mistakes that happen when the manufacturer will not put a D. They'll redo the label. Just this year, all the labels legally have to be redone. You can get variances, but they have to be redone because the new allergen statements are required to be on the label. If they redo it and they make a mistake and don't put a D on it, depending on the severity of the issue, we will not make them pull the product off the marketplace. For example, if that would be kosher, we would not make them recall it because a 2-year-old mental, you know, I don't say idiot, it's not nice, but someone with his brain shut down will know that that's milchus. We did just have a case with a Wise product, Shabbos, I think it was, sour cream and onion. And you have to realize there's a nuance over here. There's a sour cream and onion that was distributed, it said parv on it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say parv on it, I don't care whether it says sour cream on the label too, but there's so many artificial flavors these days that we wouldn't possibly allow that to be sold. And we told them, if you don't pull the product by this, we gave them 2 days to have it off the shelves. If not, so we're going to see you in court. It's just, we can't tolerate. Hagam, it's our company, and Hagam, we're putting our relationship at stress. But our prime responsibility is to the consumer. And interestingly, when I saw the package afterwards of the sour cream and onion, in big letters in front, artificially flavored. The sour cream was real, but in big letters, artificially flavored. So we have to be proactive for the point of the consumer. And that's why I would tell you that you can't just assume that a shayfko is missing the D. Depending on what it is, we will or will not recall it. We certainly will make them fix new packaging. We certainly will advertise this, either sticker or just get rid of it and print new ones.
You deal with companies, you deal with the lawyers?
Fair question, I'll get to it. If I don't, you can ask me about it. I'll get to it. What can the consumer do? When I say consumer, I'm sorry. What can the non-OU individual do to help the OU police its mark? And again, this applies to any conscious agency out there. The first thing is, if you see a questionable OU product, it's a chesed to buy it. Because you have to understand, remember, it's a legal issue. I can't go to a company or a label company that owns a product and say, I was told by a consumer, you know, Shlomo over there, he told me that you have an OU on your product. The company says, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you are, and leave me alone. La'adam, it's not going to help me. But if I say, this is a picture of your product, here's where it was purchased, here's the receipt, they can't tell me la'adam, it's here, it exists. And legally, the same exact type of thing happens. So the first thing, anybody reporting an unauthorized OU, and mashkichim will see unauthorized OUs in plants. When a mashkich is in a plant, he can sometimes spot an old label. Well, what's that label doing here? Numerous times I get phone calls from mashkichim who are not working for the OU. We were in a chafke plant on a special production, and we saw this OU label, here it is. Or anything of the sort, and what I need to have in order to work the case properly is a picture of the label, or the actual label, or a fact of the label that clearly shows the OU, the product name, and the label company's name. Now, any product distributed in the United States is mandated to have the label company's name. Distributed by, sold by, imported by, but there's got to be a city and a company name. Those things are very often not accurate. I'll get to that in a minute. But at least it's a start. It's somewhere for me to start going. So I need to know the name of the product, where you bought it is very important, because I'm going ahead of myself, but sometimes I can very easily convince a owner of a product, the label company, or manufacturer, be the case as it may be, to to listen to me better if I've shown him that, you know, I'm going to go to your retailer where it's being sold, and I'll tell him he's got to stop selling it. What you're going to have is a loss, because the retailer will destroy the product. He's not going to pay your bill. Why don't you just cooperate with me and maybe we can work this out? But I need to know where it's sold, and the more information I get, the better. So if it's a mashgiach, in the case that I mentioned to you before, in the Chafke mashgiach goes for the special, if he has a rapport with the plant personnel, and he can, I can get a case of white vinegar, and I had this just recently, out of a white vinegar they're sent to me saying like this: we, mashgiach told me, we know that this is kosher product, but it was at a non-OU plant, it is a kosher plant, it's not a kosher issue, but you want to police your mark, and here, take care of it, please. Now, I'm going to digress for a moment. Even though our product is kosher, it's imperative that we do police our mark. And that's because you have to understand the mindset of the industry. All of us here, the kosher consumer, it makes no difference. If the product is kosher, it makes no difference if it's an authorized OU or an unauthorized OU. But realize how the industry...
It does, but they just don't know that it's an unauthorized.
If you're eating vinegar that says OU on it, it was manufactured at a Chafke plant, OU had no idea that it was going on. It's totally unauthorized. They're infringing upon our trademark symbol. It's unauthorized. But you, the consumer, are not being hurt if you put this into your salad. It's 100% kosher.
Maybe I don't trust you. Okay, but I trust the OU.
Okay, so you're right. I'll qualify that. If it's kosher to our standards, I would never just accept another hashgacha. If it's kosher to our standards, when you walk into an OU restaurant, you're not having every product OU certified. You're having every product served to you that's kosher to our standards. And that works in any product that you eat because it's comprised of ingredients coming. No OU product is exclusively OU, nor is Tarkei Chafke anything. It's made up of different things. There are certain organizations that the OU will accept their product as kosher for some products, and some products, no, we're not accepting this as a kosher product. We fill your standards in this industry, in this country, in this, or your halacha, your piskei halacha in this are incorrect. That's not our piskei halacha. We won't accept it. But taking
but
it as a given that the...
Consumer, I don't know what...
I'm talking about, so I have to be perhaps more precise in my wording. Let me try this again. If the product is kosher, acceptably kosher to the OU's standards, and appears an unauthorized OU, the consumer does not lose by ingesting it in any way. In the big picture, it's as serious a problem to us as a TREF product, because... I'm sorry?
That's right, such a product. You announced the daf of kosher, so it's unauthorized OU. Did you mention though that it is kosher? You just read it to
me. I got it. Well, I appreciate the question. I got it. In a case of this white vinegar, we have to treat it very seriously. Think about the Goyish manufacturer, the non-Jewish manufacturer, who is doing this. Why is he doing kosher? Because he wants to market his product more effectively. He wants to make a minimal effort and open up his market to a lot more. And you've heard, I'm sure, many times that kosher is not limited to frum people or Orthodox people or Jewish people. It's limited to anybody who perceives the mark to be a sign of quality, who appreciates the fact that there's an outside organization walking in on this manufacturer. As a consumer, I like the concept that, you know, I know that the workers are probably not slobs about their food and production environment because there's an outside company that checks on this. There's a big market out there for kosher. It's not limited to kosher people. But be as it may, the manufacturer or the owner of that label wants a kosher sign to increase his sales. That's the bottom line. The manufacturer or label owner does not know the difference between Isuri D'Oraisa, Isuri D'Rabbanan, or OU procedural rules. He knows one thing. He being the manufacturer. The manufacturer acquires the right to put the OU on a product and is given a set of rules that he must comply with in order to be accorded the privilege of using the OU. To us, from my perspective, if he breaks the rule and doesn't register the mark, it's as serious as a perspective as if he puts Chazer Treif into the product. He broke our rules. And if I let him break rule A, he'll break rule B because he doesn't know this is the right that I bought. Some of our worst hashgachas are Yiddish people because Yiddish people are Oibachachamim. This is only a chum of the arm, but don't worry about it. I don't know you want to, it's not a big deal. We have to sometimes be more careful by a frum place than a not frum place, because frum people can be Dreykops because they know enough, they have a little working knowledge, and they don't want that here to our standards. They don't want to do what we do. They say, no, it's not, but not the tail. What do you want from me? So we have to be careful with that. A guy doesn't know from this. The rabbi said to kosherize. We kosherize. The rabbi said you have to register the product. We register the product. If you don't register the product, there's an issue. And we can't afford to take it lightly, because then tomorrow, the whole thing is in the garbage. Everything. The whole conscious program is gone. Okay, I told you I digressed, and I did digress. What makes a consumer pick up an unauthorized OU? The price issue that I mentioned could be a funny OU, and it could be something as we have in our offices over here, octopus with the OU on it. It makes no sense. Why it got there, how it got there, I don't know. I should tell you that many, many times, or probably most often, I don't arrive at the truth as to what happened. I don't know what happened, because what are they going to tell me? We were mizyofim. We did this on purpose. We wanted to save our whatever $1,000 certification. We're not going to tell me that. Oh, you know, we joke that there's this club of people who are always fired just before we contact the company. Amazing. Like, hi, company XYZ, you put an unauthorized OU, you put an unauthorized OU, yeah? We'll get back to you. You know, we just fired the employee 2 days ago who did that. He was terrible. It wasn't just OUs. He stole. He robbed. These poor people always fired just before I contact them. But there's nothing I can do about it. So, in the big picture, what's my tafkid? What's my goal? My goal is to enforce the mark, to make sure it's used accurately. And ultimately, and I can say this with a fair amount of confidence, if a company has made unauthorized use of the OU, they will, by virtue of the process that occurs, they will be put through enough misery to sincerely regret ever doing this. And while that may not be my overt goal, it certainly is a wonderful benefit of enforcement of the OU symbol. Because if a company put an unauthorized OU, you know, this is a great example, I'm going to digress for a moment. The bottles of wine over there, right? There's one with a velvet cover, one without. There are two different companies, two totally disparate cases that came to my attention within 2 weeks of one another. I don't know why. I was never able to find out why the unauthorized OUs got there. The one without the velvet cover, I contacted them. I said, you're using an unauthorized mark. You've got to pull this product immediately. It's not kosher. The company complied. 1, 2, 3. They said, we're sorry. We didn't know. We thought it was kosher. Whatever they told me, I don't remember, Pasha. And they pulled the product off the shelves. It was gone. I don't just rely on them. I check. I send people. I make them everything in writing, and I'll discuss this. The bottom line, they complied beautifully. I gave them a penalty. It wasn't cheap. It was, I simply don't remember, but it was definitely, it wasn't like $2,000-$3,000. It was a penalty. But they complied. And from the legal perspective, there's not much we can do unless you can prove there was willful infringement. If you can show, I sent you a letter a year ago saying don't put the OU on your products, and you went ahead and did it nonetheless, then I can go after you for something called triple damages. I can make you really miserable. But they complied and the case was closed. The company on the right, that bottle, if you look on the back, as pass around the velvet bottle, look on the back label next to the photo of the map. On the upper right corner, there's an OU symbol. They distributed 3 varieties of wine. Just pass it around because it'll make a difference in a minute. They did not comply. They told me they were going to comply. I don't want to be Maitzilaz, but I am horrified to tell you that they had a frum attorney whose kids are learning in Kollel. I was out of my camp. I had no idea why, but they were telling me, yes, we're going to pull the product immediately. Shekev v'chazav. It was out there. I was finding it in Brighton Beach, in Brooklyn, in Jersey. I was finding it, not me personally, although one time I went with my kids shopping in all the liquor stores in Brighton Beach looking again, but I was finding it all over the place. They weren't complying. And I kept sending them letters that we're going to comply. Yeah, we're going to comply. Writing back, they weren't complying. Ultimately, I said, that's it. I went to a federal...
How long did you wait before?
In this case, I waited probably 3 weeks. That was because I was dealing with this from person. I mean, yeah, it's pulled. So every time I gave them another 3 days, and I'll get to the delay factor. I will get to that by just some time permitting, and I hope we'll get there. But ultimately, I advertised it right away. That's how I kept finding new cases. You could advertise saying, whoever sees this, let me know when it's safe. But ultimately, we went to a federal judge, and he issued a temporary restraining order. Temporary restraining order, in a nutshell, is you go to a judge and say, look, Your Honor, Party A is ba'aveling me in a way that's causing me serious harm. I can't afford to go through the normal channels of a lawsuit. I'm going to show you enough evidence of my claim so that you'll have a serious reason to believe me. You'll ask the other party, the defendant, if they have any defense. But I am asking you to issue an order today for injunctive relief, which means you can tell Party A, until this is cleared up, you must stop immediately because your ongoing business action or practice is hurting the owner of the symbol. I went to a judge, not me, my attorneys, and we got a temporary restraining order. Then they pulled all the product off the shelves. After that happened, I went and I realized if you pick up the bottle the way that gentleman is doing, pick up the velvet a little bit, not too much. I don't want to lose it. Look at the back label over there. What they did was they went and sent people around to the stores finally, and they put whiteout on that velvet bag. So that cost them a lot of grief because all the stores saw that the OU was serious. And not only did they go around, but I had New York State people going around, and I went around. but they saw that the OU was serious and it couldn't be messed with, and particularly in that industry, you have to show them a strong presence, because the wine industry traditionally has been a loose industry with regard to Hashgachas. But after they did the whole withdrawal effort, I went back and I said, you know something, there's an OU under that velvet bag. You've got to go back to all the stores again and do it again. And by doing so, they really, to use their vernacular, they busted their chops, because they destroyed all their, that effectively destroys the bottle. You can't sell that bottle anymore. There's glue on it. It's a mess. I said, I don't care. The consumer could conceptually buy this product, take off the bag, and see it's kosher and drink it, and serve it to the kosher friend. I can't tolerate it. You have to do it. And right now, I can tell you, our legal fees on this case were in the range of $50,000, and we're still involved. We're still involved, and now I have to go to the Beis Din, because they came to us claiming, when we went for the temporary restraining order, they said, no, we won't go to Beis Din. Send me Hazmana. They're fried, and they refused to respond to anything. So I asked the Shaila, I asked Rav Belsky, and he said, 100%, take them to court, get them to stop the damage, because they're not listening. And Beis Din has the authority to do that. This is Ramad. He's allowed to do that. And then, for financial issues, then you have to go back to Beis Din, which I'm doing now. But this has gone on for 2 years. So to give you an idea of the time frame. Now, they stopped using it after roughly a month. But it schleps. Okay. How did it schlep?
They take me to Beis Din.
They took me to Beis Din, so I should not take them to court, because they knew that court was going to stop their action right away. They wouldn't have a chance to sell out the product.
They fraudulently put it on?
No. They don't know how I got there. You know, I got to tell you, Rabbi Saif, from a halachic perspective, if you think about your Chesh and Mishpat, what did they do? Groma, maybe. Garmi? I have to prove willful intent and Vade Yezeka, right? Bar Yezeka. So what am I claiming for? I'm claiming for damages, my attorney's fees, right? And then there are issues, but what was the damage? What's the damage that happens here? I don't know. Leave that one alone. But anyhow,
yeah,
let me.
That someone is eating non-kosher.
So that's you, not me.
That's me. That's
right. You, right. But you could sue for that.
There's also a class action lawsuit in the English guy.
The company that put on an authorized OU. If I pick up a package of cookies and authorize OU, I can sue the company.
Correctly. Any individual can initiate what's called a class action lawsuit if he wants to, but the OU can't do that on their behalf.
Also, if you bought it.
Well, that's... I'll back off, because it's way out of where I'm supposed to be now. Okay, getting more back focused to where I'd like to be now, and I want to move along because we have 15 more minutes.
You're just trying to say that the consumer could figure out that it's an authorized OU because of the price.
They could question.
They could
see it's a new product, a new label, something looks fishy, or they just want to make sure. Often enough, when I go shopping, now, by the way, any consumer has the ability of calling the OU, going online and looking for a product to verify its certified status. The online lookup is not 100% accurate, because many companies have chosen not to be included in the database for privacy reasons. A lot of their products are industrial products, and they don't want the world seeing what they are. So, but calling up the OU with a question is certainly effective, and people do get back and work it through. Let me get beyond. So let's assume that I already have a case, right? I'm sorry?
They return messages and things like that?
I hope so. Yeah.
I'm saying that...
They should.
I mean, okay, no, they get a lot of calls. You know,
they do get a lot of calls, and sometimes before Pesach I'll be busier, and sometimes my office, when there is an unauthorized OU, gets sent to my office, and I have to triage them. If I think it's benign, a bottle of water with an unauthorized OU, I'll deal with it, but it may take me 2 weeks. I'll call the consumer and say, look, I know it's there, I know you're there, I'll get you, but this is not high in the list of priorities. While a product containing gelatin with an OU, that's a major red flag. So I've got to triage these things and make decisions appropriately. Okay, let's say I've got the product. What's our job? And this is negated to people who will be running cautious agencies. We've got to find the owner of the label. That's not as easy as it sounds. You know, there's always a phone number and a website, and I can tell you from first-hand experience, these websites are defunct. The phone number has been closed. I've had cases when labels are valuable property. You can have a pretzel bag, okay, being sold in a 99-cent store. This pretzel bag was originally manufactured 10 years ago. Not with the pretzels in it, although I have wafers that are currently being sold so that are 7 years old. The guy says he tests it scientifically, make sure they're healthy. I was wondering if he gives it to his dog or something. It doesn't make sense. But you can buy them for a buck. Anyhow, but these pretzels were 6-7 years ago a kosher certified label. The company went bankrupt, and now they show up 7 years later in a 99-cent store, and how do I find out who is behind these pretzels? So you've got to use a fair amount of imagination. And amongst the tools that you can use are as follows. You can look through the system for any sort of name. On the pretzels, I did that. I said, sure, we had this 7 years ago, but the company's bankrupt. Okay. You can go to the retail point of sale and say, where are you getting it from? And try to backtrack that way. I think I might say, I bought it at a closeout, right? Sometimes companies use aliases. You can have a big company manufactures a famous line of crackers, and they want to get a bigger market share. When you walk into Walmart, you're going to see 6 brands of crackers. So the big company says, you know what? I'll do my famous brand crackers over here, and then I'll start the Joe's Heimische Cracker Company, same company, same cracker, but it's going to be a different color. It's going to be 75 cents cheaper on the box because I'm competing with the famous brand, and I'm Joe's Heimische. And I'm going to make up a name, Joe's Heimische, and no one's going to know the difference. And all of a sudden it shows up on the shelf to know you have had this case. How do I find who's Joe's Heimische? Joe's Heimische doesn't exist. They made up the company name. It doesn't exist. So in, with the case of Joe's Heimische, what it was, like I said, you have to use imagination. I searched. I played a chance. I said, which one of our companies make crackers? And I searched all the towns of production facilities for these companies, and I found that like a famous brand company has a production facility in the same town that's on the Joe Heimische label. So I called famous brand. I said, famous brand, is Joe Heimische your label? Yes. Sorry, Rabbi, we forgot to tell you about it. An unauthorized OU, 100% kosher. Is there a reason for me to advertise this? No. No. The consumer is eating kosher product. Now, I'm going to check with my mashgiach at famous brand manufacturing plants. They confirm for me that this product is coming from there. Sure, I'll do that. But the bottom line is, it's going to end up being kosher, manufactured under the same strictures, under the same chumras, under the same environment as other stuff. Why am I recalling the product? I'm not. I'm not even going to tell the public about it. There's no need. But the consumer, one point, the consumer who told me about this waited for a week for my response. He was wondering the whole time, is it really kosher? Is it not? Does the OU really know what they're doing? What's going on? And this is not our fault. So what should we do? We should tell the famous company, now you're fired. It's a pretty stupid thing because...
Why does the consumer think that it might not be kosher?
I simply don't remember.
So what would you do in this case?
Nothing. If it's a company that's our company, a famous brand company, nothing. If they do it 3 times, I'll call them down for reading and say, look, you're putting the OU's conscious program at risk. You're putting the integrity of our program at your facility at risk. And we have 2 options. Either we'll discuss what you can do to prevent this from happening. We're going to put in place more controls, more visits. We'll make them put up a label book so every new label they manufacture is put into the book so the mashgiach can review it. We'll make them do a sign-off on their... And the famous company, when they do a new label, they have to check off certain things. We'll make them include, is there a kosher symbol? Do you have an accompanying letter of certification? We'll do something. But if it's a one-time deal, mistakes happen, that's perfectly normal. We have to be tolerant of it. We can't just come in there with a sledgehammer. You made a mistake, you're fired. You know what's going to happen? You won't be able to get the famous cookies anymore with the OU. And part of our goal is to make sure that people have kosher food. I'm going to go on a trip with my family to San Francisco, which I'm not, but I want to be able to get kosher food, right? The Yiddish world travels. The Orthodox Union is here to service that world. And we don't want to just look to scare away the companies. Okay, I'd like to move on because I still want to have a little time for questions. we've established that there is an unauthorized OU. I don't know yet if it's kosher or not. I know it's not authorized, and I've identified the people behind it. What do I do? They're going to get a legal letter from me saying, we are the owner of the mark. Here's the registration numbers. Tell me, where is it? Do you have the right to use the OU? Could be there's a mistake on our part. We had a product with, it was called Pooch Pops, P-O-O-C-H Pops. Go figure, I'm a sugar novel, but this company is making Foxy Pops for dogs. Foxy Pops, Pooch Pops. That's right. So, Pooch Pops are out there with no U. First of all, we don't certify dog food. We've been asked to. And sheet, that's just not becoming that. We don't certify dog food. Okay. Pooch Pops is not authorized OU. I go after the company, B'chol Taikif, and I realize that the company is an OU certified company. And they tell me, of course we have permission to use the OU. I said, no, you don't. I looked at your Schedule B, which is a listing of your authorized products. You don't have permission. They said, Rabbi, look, and they sent it to me. The Schedule B reads Pouch Pops, P-O-U-C-H. Now, what happened was the company sent in Pooch Pops. The person who did answer Pooch Pops said they made a mistake. Pouch Pops. Sure, Pouch Pops makes sense. Pooch Pops does not make sense if you think about it. So Pouch Pops was certified. Pooch Pops were not certified. But what you have here is a silly sort of situation. What am I going to beat them up? What's the point? So we fixed it. We told them, stop putting the OU on Pooch Pops. We took the Pouch Pops off the Schedule B. Yes, you might still be able to find it today on the marketplace, but within a year or two, you won't find it anymore.
Is it still on the Schedule B in the back? in the terminated section?
The pouch pops.
Yeah.
You mentioned you should send them a legal letter. Did you call them over the phone and tell them that
no.
you did?
But generally, it's in a case-by-case situation. Generally, if it's something that I think of as benign, I'll send them a letter, I'll follow it up with a phone call. If it's something that I think is critical, I will first send them a letter. You can't, it's like if someone calls you saying, hi, I'm with the United States government, what's the Social Security number? Why should a company give me the time of day? They don't know anything. But if I say, look at your fax, you've got a certified letter from me which is coming in 2 days, or
you
check your email.
Always certified?
Yeah. Because you have to have a record of what happened. Yeah, sure, absolutely. But the fax is good, and even these emails are acceptable legally in certain situations. But I say, look, you have a letter from me. I'm not a stranger. I'm somebody. I've given you my federal registration numbers. I exist. Now they have to pay attention, and I've given them a copy of their product that the consumer or the mashgiach supplied to me. I want to know, is it kosher certified by us? Maybe we're making a mistake, like the Pooch Pops. If not, is it kosher certified by anybody? And identify the manufacturer for us and provide us with a letter of certification from whichever agency certifies it. And finally, give me documentation which sources your product to that facility, and I'll explain. The white vinegar, going back to the white vinegar, okay? The white vinegar, it was manufactured at a Chofke facility. I don't remember if it was Chofke, I'm just making it up totally. But let's say it was manufactured at a Chofke facility. They will come back and tell me, oh, Rabbi, we made a mistake. We thought kosher meant OU, which happens often. They think OU is a generic sign for kosher, so we put the OU on it. But it's a kosher facility by the rabbi from the Chofke. I said, fine. Send me a letter from the Chofke which writes that this part is kosher. But there's a reyes over here. This is not like they follow all the rules. There's a reyes right away. That means normal hashgacha is based upon we'll call it the three-legged stool that Rashi talks about. The Rami is Biyaka, but it's a three-legged stool. There's my rules that I tell them. There's my inspections to make note that we want to initiate a kosher program. There's my rules. I tell them the rules. That incorporates all kosher. There's inspections to make sure that they're keeping the rules. And there's a mirsis that if they don't listen, I will beat them up via the contractor financially. I'll make them suffer for it. That's mirsis.
How much do they really suffer financially? The multi-million-dollar company?
I cost a multi-million-dollar company $400,000. They called me down to a meeting with 10 people of them. All of those 10 people were senior management, and they were so mad. And I was so proud of the OU because the OU was willing to lose one of its biggest accounts. And we told them, if you don't listen to us on this recall, we will see you in court, this courthouse, tomorrow morning. Have your attorneys there because we are filing for a TRO, and we know we may lose our biggest account or near our biggest account. And we cost them $400,000. I don't care what. I don't care how big the company. No company wants to explain to their senior personnel, why did we have to do this? And it's not just $400,000. You're losing your shelf space. You're losing your marketing. It's a destruction. It's not good. We want to see, once one of those legs of the stool has been removed, there's a reisa, then halachically, the only grounds I have to accept it as kosher is if I can tighten up very much and have more than a normal comfort level that the product is kosher. I am not looking to do recalls. If I do recalls, I am abusing to an extent the system. When I do a recall, I'm not just telling the company pull the product. We have a great working relationship with just about every major supermarket chain out there. And that's because my office has cultivated that relationship. I'm on a first-name basis with most of these people. When I call them, I always joke around, like, you know, I'd like to call you to tell you happy birthday, but usually it's something serious. But they respect us. We've met with them. We've talked with them. We've flown out to them specifically for this purpose. When I have a possible trafe on the shelves at a... not Trader Joe's, at a Super Target, right? I can call out. I don't have to do this call, make an email or something. I'll have to give them a reasonable reason to think it's not kosher. Within an hour or two, you could not buy this product in the Target, period. You could not walk out of the Target. They will have locked down the product.
Not phone call in any Target in the country.
I think so. I am reluctant to say I'm right.
Castle.
Not that they say no. You cannot buy it in the Target. They could something called a lockdown where they will not let you scan. If you scan the item at a register, it will stop. It will come out. Can't buy it. And I've done it. We had a pork taco or something like that, or a tortilla. Some Mexican style thing with pork in it. Why did it happen? Because the label company was OU certified for something else. They were developing a new product which was TRAFE. They gave over the product to the graphic people and they said, no, just copy the label. The graphic person doesn't know OU from anything. He copied the label. Here you have kosher pork with an OU on it. But I'm going to tell them you have to respond, and if you don't respond, then I'm going to try to be polite. I want to work with the company so as to avoid headache. If I work with the company doing a recall, they can initiate a recall still faster than I would if I would go for a temporary restraining order. This can take me 2-3 days to prepare the documentation that I need, go to the judge. The judge orders it, and then the judge orders the company to do the recall that if I would have convinced him to do it properly in the first place, he would have started a week earlier already. So I do want the company to work. I'm polite but firm, and when necessary, we certainly go ahead and get difficult. That's a decision we have to make. In a proactive sense, we do try to get companies to pay attention to the OU and see how to use it properly. We also sometimes enlist the aid of outside agencies, particularly in the state of New York and New Jersey, which have wonderful kosher laws, so we can enlist their aid in controlling the mark. But
I want to leave a few minutes for questions.
But just to recap for a moment, our approach is we want to make sure that if it says OU, it's acceptably kosher by our standards to the consumer, A, and B, if we feel that the manufacturer or label company made an innocent error, we will allow them at times to keep existing product on the marketplace. It does not mean they can continue doing it. And finally, if it's not kosher, then we'll take the drastic action necessary. I have 2 minutes for questions, so you can call them, guys. Go ahead. Have more time beyond the... Okay. Go ahead. So before I answer you, and I will answer you, let me just tell you, if you send me an email, there are two articles that I wrote about this that appeared in Amadea. One is about how we enforce the mark, and one is about how consumers have to be a little bit cautious as to what they do. The second article, no, it's in Amadea. I can email it to you if you want. If you want, I can. But just send me an email, I'll send it over. But the point is that the consumer has to be that letter. The consumer has to be the letter. If my 9-year-old son has no business walking into an ice cream store and seeing an LLC that says Orthodox Union on top of the thing is kosher, he's got to read what it says. And I can't do more. The letter certification is a standard tool in the industry. Companies need it because it's one of our controls in the industrial setting. The mashgiach at the ice cream shop needs to see it when he gets the raw material in. So the manufacturer has the right to ask for a letter of certification. But the consumer can't walk in there and see a letter of certification and say, oh, it's probably kosher. That's what it means. A letter of certification for a restaurant will say this restaurant is kosher certified by the Orthodox Union. If it says this ingredient is manufactured under the auspices of the Orthodox Union, so you have to realize that that's not what you're being sold.
So you would not call me saying the letter is expired and take it down?
Legally, it's an iffy proposition. You can't force, or it's difficult to force a company from giving consumers information about what they do. A company has every right to tell you, I am telling you, I'm an ice cream store, I'm telling you that I buy ingredients that are OU certified. If you want to believe me or not, that's you. If the company says the Orthodox Union certifies this product, then they're saying to them that's not correct, because we don't, and we can't, and we won't. But if they're just saying, I bought the ice cream mix from the OU, from an OU certified product, I opened the container. Once I open the container, the certification is void. But this is what I got, they have room for it.
In front of the contract, when the person has taken off to your restaurant, you must take
It's in our contract that when our supervisors remove, they must stop all use of the OU symbol and representation of OU certification. Until I get thrown out, I'm good. If we go with the big picture definition, any use of the OU symbol that's not in our database as such, I'd say I'd get roughly 15 cases a week. How many of those end up being even non-OU manufactured products? Maybe one or two. How many of them are ending up being TRAFE? One a month, one and a half, every half a month. There is a system, by the way, that I will at times try to make a determination if a product is kosher, even if it was manufactured. I just had a case with an Australian candy company that was buying candy from a Chinese company that used to be OU certified. The Chinese company stopped being certified because they just couldn't afford it anymore. The Australian company was unaware and kept buying the candy and putting the OU label on it. So the Australian company paid for us to send the mashgiach down to China We went into the company, we made them do, we did an absolutely exhaustive review of their manufacturing environment. It wasn't just like, let's make sure we're doing a regular visit. We went through any trace ingredient in the facility. We wanted to know, what do you manufacture with this ingredient? How much, we picked a 2-month period, how much would you use in the manufacture of the trace ingredient in 2 months? And now let's see if you bought more trafe than would have been used in your trafe products. Then we're worried that you have it in the kosher product as well. We drove them absolutely nuts, but ultimately the product was acceptably kosher, and I did not force them to do a withdrawal. I thought it would be a chil Hashem to do so. The Australian company was in all, they were legitimately using the OU initially. There was a simple toss. They paid for us to come down and do an inspection. What gain is there for me to go ahead and make them suffer? What they're going to say is, you know what, the Jews and the kosher industry, it's not worth it. And that would be a chil Hashem. They didn't do anything wrong, so why would I do that? That was a loose comment, and I was aware of it when I made it, and I was hoping someone would ask me about it. When I say loose industry, up until several years ago, there was this prevalent practice, and I don't understand how it happened, that certain countries which manufacture a lot of wine had this thing that if they were to get a local hashkacha to give hashkacha on their wine product, they would then put other hashkachas on them as well. So that you could buy you've seen wines with multiple hashkachas on them, right? It used to be that those multiple hashkachas were not so accurate. There was one source hashkacha that was accurate, and other ones just got tagged along. I want to say why they said, because this means, I want to say it's one manufacturer, why you do it? This means that the American hashkachas accept, so we put the American hashkacha on it too. What the OU did was, in my office, we sent letters to every label company in France of the kosher wine that we were aware of, and every hashkacha in France, and not just limited to France, excuse me, Europe, that did kosher wines that we were aware of, and we told them in no uncertain terms that now you are being put on notice. We own the mark in Europe. We've won landmark rulings in Europe. In Europe, there's no such thing as a product recall. Once a product is sold from a manufacturer to a retailer, you can't go and say, give it back. The OU won a product recall in Europe against the biggest European company for biscuits, period. And it was a landmark case. I think our fees were a fortune of money. We do, Baruch Hashem, like I said in the beginning, we vigorously defend the mark. It was a trade product and we got it pulled. But we dealt with it, whatever. But the point is with the wines, so I sent all the hashkaf organizations and all the label companies notice. If you put the wine, the OU on any wine, and it's not authorized, if it's looking C, so to speak, I promise you that I will force you to destroy all of your product that has the OU symbol. And you're warned and you're on notice and stop. And Baruch Hashem, we've been checking and it has, I can't say it stopped because I wouldn't know for sure with the Vados, but I can tell you that to our knowledge it stopped. But yes, it used to be a loose industry and not limited to OU. But this is what we did to protect, we can only protect from the OU. That's our.
What was their excuse then? The excuse was that
they said that we know it's kosher and the American rabbis will accept this as kosher so we can put their sign on it. Go figure. So being might have to.
Could local bar kashers have the same legal recourse like the OU?
If they own the mark, yes. They don't have the resources as we do. We have a top firm. We have a partner, one of the top firms that does all litigation for us. And we go ahead and we have partners in firms around the world who've done work for us, and we know them. I had a case yesterday in France. I sent Ms. Isabelle Leroux of Bird & Bird, which is a huge international law firm. She's a partner. I said, hey, I just want you to know this is going on. If I need your help, I'll let you know. And she seems like, Baruch, nice to hear from you, and let me know whatever you need. Why? Because I've worked with her in the past. You have to have a relationship with the supermarkets, as I mentioned, with whatever you need. Now, a lot of the local Vadim will contact me, because they know me, and say, what can you do? And I'll give them sample letters. I have all these things done already. So I don't mind if a Vad uses us as a resource, because the bottom line is that though you have a vested interest in cautious with the world, this helps. We don't mind at all.
I don't know if you explained it, how New York State and New Jersey help you?
To a degree, New York State and New Jersey help us, because they have an enforcement arm that does not have to fall back to the court system. From the secular perspective, again, if there's an unauthorized OU, if I want to do something, I have to go to court. Whereas the state of New York and New Jersey, if the unauthorized use of the symbol is in violation of their particular laws, then they can send a state inspector in there and quarantine or penalize the offenders, and they don't have to wait for the Shekel Hadin, so to speak.
The number very minimal in New York.
The state of New Jersey can penalize up to $7,000 per infraction, which is per product.
New Jersey, yeah. But New York is much.
New York is very shach, but they can quarantine. They can quarantine, which, you know, something, it helps. and helps. And no one is comfortable having someone from the government walk into the store. That's something I've seen time after time. No one is comfortable. But they're not our workers. We work with them very well, Baruch Hashem. If we know that it's questionable, and if you're going to call about the same product, then it's going to be hit with the red flag by whoever answers the phone, because they're not going to find it. It'll come to me, and then I'll get back to you and say, we're aware of the issue. Or someone in my office will get back to you and say, we're aware of the issue, we're working on it. Just so you understand, there is going to be a lag between my becoming aware of the unauthorized use of the EOU and the ultimate determination of whether it's even kosher or not. But this is something that we've decided in discussion with our place, and it's not something that we take lightly. But as I mentioned, if we're going to go ahead and picture the scene, okay, I have this wine, I didn't wait a second. I've got to be crazy. It's not a question about it. I knew we didn't certify it. I didn't wait for this. But, well, that one, like I said, took me plenty of time, but that's because I kept promising and I relied on them. But if it's a more, in the cracker case, right? So there's going to be a time frame of, let's say, 3 days when the customer is out there buying the product with the OU symbol on it, and we don't truly know if it's kosher or not. And that is clear. The decision by us is made in light of what I mentioned earlier, specifically that we can't get that product away from the consumer any quicker. That means, if I would know about Da'as, this is treif, our first contact, hi, you're using this, it's treif, it was done out in our facility, pull the product on the shelves right now. Well, you know what might happen? It happened to me 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago on an Erev Shabbos, I'll tell you a case. Someone bought a packet of corn chips in the mountains, being sold in roughly 5,000 stores across the United States in chain store, including Liberty and Monticello. Corn chips had an OU, it's not certified. Okay, so I sent them a letter right away. This might be treif. Oils, vegetable-based oils, animal-based oils, it might be treif. I sent the letter to the company, and I called them right away, and the guy says, I'm the president of the company. You send me your letter, thank you. My attorney will get back to you. I'm like, but, sir, this may have been done on a kosher plant. I'm not coming out of the blue. I sent you a letter. You know who I am. You can look up my company on the web. You know we're existing. And you're infringing on our mark, possibly hurting consumers. Could you just tell me, is it being manufactured for you by a kosher manufacturer? My attorneys will get back to you next week. This is on Erev Shabbos. I drove to the mountains, literally talking the whole time on the phone with... I didn't wait. I spoke with the legal department, the general counsel of the chain store carrying the product. While I was on the phone, my assistant sent them a letter instructing the retailer that they must stop selling the product, and if they sell it, they will be subject to infringement of our mark, which they are. A retailer can't sell the product saying, I just bought it like this. Once we tell them it has an unauthorized OU, they've got to stop selling it. Now, the retailer is not going to say, oh, Baruch Shem, I call them and stop selling it right away. He has the right to do his due diligence and see if I'm making sense or not, and that could take a few days. So he did do his due diligence, and as of the next Tuesday, Wednesday, it still was not pulled. Now, I personally went down to the store, I gave him my idea, and I said, please, have pity on your consumers, you know you're dealing with Jewish people in this base, this is in the Catskills. I said, at least put a sign, this is not kosher. And I gave them the name of their legal department, and they listened, they put up such a sign. Now, I suspected all along that this would be a kosher product. Why? Because the same company, it's called Casa Ricardo, if it makes any difference, had other products without the OU, and those are nacho products, okay, cheese products. So why did they have the seichel to make the mistake on the thing that might be kosher, and they didn't put the OU on the thing which is not kosher? So I had a fair reason to suspect that it really was done at a kosher company, and they didn't register with us. But I was being stonewalled because they weren't giving me any information. So I worked all counts. I called New York State Kosher that day. They sent an inspector. The inspector sent an email to the chain store saying, "This is unauthorized OU. What can you tell us about it?" So they got a notice from the state. They got a notice from me. This is the store, remember, the retailer. The manufacturer, or the label company, I didn't know who the manufacturer was, the label company got a notice from me, and everyone said, we hear you, but you have to wait. Now, I tried. I gave it until, let's say, I think it was that Tuesday, right? Because ultimately, you see, they can stonewall me. But at that point, I sent, and I already had sent an email to my attorney, I think. I don't remember the time frame exactly. But I sent an email to my attorney saying, this is coming down. Be aware, so when I contact you telling you let's go for a temporary restraining order, you already have all your information. You know, so you start working in the background, but I'm still going to give the label company time to have their attorney get back to me like he says he will. Ultimately, I found out in the middle of the next week that it was done by one of our certified companies. And our certified company They say they gave us the paperwork and it got lost. Whatever the case may be, it was 100% kosher. And now it's being sold legitimately in the stores. But what would have happened if I would have come that very first time and I got the report and told them pull the product? Nothing. Even after I tried a day or two later to tell them pull the product, still nothing happened. And I'm not going to gain. This guy happened to be an absolute action. Most companies do, and this is just from my experience, they do respond and they will tell you, you know, it's manufacturer, I manufacture XYZ, and they tell me they're a kosher company. We just have to get our paperwork done. I said, fine, now I can breathe comfortably and give you the 3-4 days to work it through. And Mitzad Sheni, to go back to the case with the Australian candy, when he came back to me, and I was nice to them, and he came back to me and said, this is just manufacturer. I said, look, I don't know if this stuff is kosher. You've got to stop any distribution with the OU. And he listened. He listened. So I gained by being nice in that, how am I going to go fight a fight in Australia? It's not that simple. Yes, we are in the middle of applying for our mark in Australia, but it's not our mark yet. It'd be difficult. So you have to go with a ne'imus, a firm ne'imus, and then be prepared if you have to take off your hand and give a question.
There are two questions here. We'll briefly answer these two questions.
I still couldn't understand what was the best problem with being action. Let's tell you that. What was the issue that why is he being action?
I don't know. It's called action, but that's the answer. He was an absolute action. And just so you realize...
Well, fear of the unknown could be also...
He was an action, and just... I'm sorry, I'm going to dispute that he was an action. But, I taught him a lesson. The lesson that I taught him was that I wasn't going to hurt our manufacturer and say you can't use the OU because our manufacturer was actually the exclusive distributor of the corn chips. And what I did do was I said, I will not let you just get authorization now. And I have a 7-page contract on my desk that he's going to have to sign. And I am invoicing him for my company's time at attorney's rates for the effort I put into the case. And I told him, I said, I can't give you the OU. I said, the OU is predicated on trust. You have given me every reason to doubt that you can cooperate with us. How can I let you use OU? Until they came back, oh, please, I didn't know, I didn't understand. Now sign this contract, and you know that it's way different than your standard 2-page contract, and now pay me the money, and then we'll talk.
Just trademark laws, it has to be registered every single country.
If you want to enforce it, yes. There are certain countries that have European Union as a conglomeration of countries where...
I think we have outside your office, right?
Outside my office,
if you
want to
list. Look outside your office.
But there's more. We're pending in a couple of years. Right now we're pending in Australia, which is extraordinarily difficult. They have a whole different set of rules. Trademark rules differ from country to country. Our trademark in Mexico is registered in one fashion, in the United States is another fashion, in Australia it's going to be in a third fashion. And that's because you have to play with their local rules. But the bottom line is the OU goes everywhere, and it's our Christ to protect it where it goes.
We'd like to thank Robert Siviak, and we're very fortunate at OU to have a man of his caliber and integrity. And also, he's also a shtickle auction also.
Yes. I always joke around, I say that Baruch Hashem Davis gave me a job that lets me let out all of my aggression at work so I can come home and be an idol again. Shkoyach, everybody. Can I just have the samples back?
Shkoyach.
Thank you, Thomas.